West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Those guys will take you up to 4 o'clock. And then Grizzlies at Thunder, game two of that series, will be broadcast live right here on ESPN 1320. Shout out to Matt C. in Roseville. He was yesterday's winner of our $500 that we're giving away each day this week and each day next week, Monday through Friday. We're going to give you a code word. D'Lo and KC will also give you a code word. You enter both of those code words at ESPN1320.com. You give yourself two chances to win $500 courtesy of our friends, Folsom Lake Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, home of the big guy, Vince Blue. Hell yeah. We'll have that keyword for you coming up this segment.
Okay.
In this segment, we're giving you that keyword. We haven't given it to you. And we're going to make it obvious. It's not going to be a secret thing. We're going to make it a whole thing. Like, you'll know when the keyword is being given out. We're not just going to be like, oh, keyword. Like, we want you to enter. we're going to make it very clear for you. Where were we at? Scott Perry, his priority list. I see some NFL draft questions in the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320. We will get to that. But I want to get to this Scott Perry thing first. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. I got somebody on hold right now that we'll get to. But what's your number one priority? And like I said, not big picture, not pick a direction, like we know that. What's just like the personnel thing that has to be the first move for Scott Perry?
They have to figure out who the head coach is. And if Doug Christie's that guy, then sign him now and let him build a staff. If he's not that guy, then let's open up the thing, you know, quickly.
Yep.
Because I think there are a lot of coaches that are available right now that should be intriguing. Mm-hmm. And so if Doug's the guy, give him the job and start building now. If he's not, then you got to make the decision quickly and do what you think is best. But I think without a head coach in place, then this thing gets a little dicey.
Yeah, I think I have a hard time pushing back on that because you can't sit down and assess the roster until you know who the head coach is going to be and what you should be. Here we go. There should be some kind of marriage between coach and GM and roster and basketball philosophy and play style and all that jazz. So you can't even start making decisions on the roster until you know who the coach is going to be. Mm-hmm. So I don't disagree there. I'm going to go off the beaten path a little bit with that.
Okay.
And to me, you got the number one thing you have to do is, what is DeMar DeRozan doing?
Okay.
What are you doing with DeMar DeRozan? Because if he's going to be in Sacramento, I think that alters a little bit the way that you're building this team.
Oh, completely.
At least for me.
Yeah.
I think we saw what he is, such a singular force offensively, that having him in your building means that you're probably crafting a team a little bit differently than you would if he's not in your building. And so that has to be the first thing you're figuring out. Is DeMar DeRozan going to be here next season, or is he not?
Yeah, I mean, like, if I'm starting the conversations, DeMar DeRozan isn't part of the team next year. And that's, again, it's not a slight on DeMar. It's just that he's the 35-year-old guy that doesn't fit with your 30-year-old shooting guard.
Yeah.
And so one of them has to go, and it's easier to move a $25 million contract than it is a $43 or $46 million contract. And so that's where I would start. And yeah, so as far as transactions, mm-hmm. it's like, hey, let's sit down, let's assess, like, what are our priorities? Like, how do we acquire players that we need? And like, what's the first player that we look at in order to make that move?
Yeah.
And he's probably like really, really high on the list.
Yeah. He has to be, like I said, to me, that has to be number one. Because so much of everything else you're going to do is going to revolve around that. And if DeMar's like, nope, I'm going to be here, I want to be here, and there's no market for him, there would be a market for him if they wanted to trade him. But if he's just going to be on your roster, all right, figure out the rest of this then, because it can't look how it did last year. Very clearly.
Yeah. Well, that, and I also think that there's something you have to, when you're dealing with a player like this, you have to quickly make up your mind of what kind of direction you want to go with that player.
Mm-hmm.
So is the move to break DeMar DeRozan's contract up into two or three players?
Mm-hmm.
Or is the move to take DeMar DeRozan's contract, add it to another player, and go try to get a bigger player?
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to choose a pathway. Mm-hmm. And again, I look at him as much as anything else. I'm just going to be honest with you. I look at DeMar DeRozan's contract the same exact way that I looked at Kevin Huerter and the same way I looked at Harrison Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a $25 million contract with a $10 million buyout for the final year.
Mm-hmm.
You could be acquiring $50 million with a player, but you're really realistically acquiring $35 million with a player. And so I think that there's a way in which like you can go get the player that you need.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I need to know what the direction is, because is DeMar DeRozan and a first round pick enough to get you Cam Johnson?
Sure.
Or are you going to go more like, hey, we would move him to the Lakers in order to get like Rui Hachimura and like Gabe Benson?
Sure.
I don't even know what the contracts are, but like I'm just throwing out like ideas.
Right,
like,
gotcha.
Do you break him into two, or are you adding something to him to go get something bigger? You don't have a lot to add. So that's one of the problems, unless we start cracking into the Jonas Valanciunas $10, $11 million contract, the Malik Monk $18, $19 million contract.
Which all should be on the table, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't think, I know that people have their favorites, and you're not going to trade everybody and blow the entire team up, but everything has to very much be on the table.
Yeah, but I also, like, look, if you're going to go in a new direction with your general manager, if Scott Perry wants to blow up like 80% of the roster and build around two or three guys, I think that might be the first step. Like, who is your core? You know, like the press conference tomorrow, like that should be one of the biggest questions is like, who do you consider the core and how do you keep that core together?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you build around that core?
Yeah.
And so if the first thing, you know, he starts naming everybody on the roster as his core, you know, that's Monty McNair's team, Wes Wilcox's team. That's not your team.
Yeah.
So how do you want to put a stamp on this, and how do you want to change it around and make things, you know, like have a positive spin and get ready to compete for the playoffs next season?
Huh. Do you know what Scott Perry probably thinks his first priority is?
Uh-oh.
Getting Zach LaVine the hell out of Sacramento. Here's Scott Perry talking about Zach LaVine on... I don't have the podcast name in front of me. Whoops. That's fine. We'll tell you what podcast it was. Here's what he said.
No question that Zach LaVine can score the basketball. He has proven that his 9 years in the NBA. I know this is his 10th season. He's shot the ball well. He's a career 38% three-point shooter, explosive athlete. He has proven that he can score the basketball. Next thing that I look at, does he impact winning? Zach LaVine has been to one playoff series in 9 years. So he's played a total of four playoff basketball games. So now I say to myself, I'm looking at paying 40 this year, 43, 46, and 49 million in subsequent years for a guy who, to this point, has not impacted winning to the level that his money says he should impact. So there's not a real match there, in my opinion. Now, as I look at the teams, and you bring up a good point, Mo, when you start talking about him as a third option, which I think is the best fit.
Oof.
Yeah.
They got to find two players better than Zach LaVine.
Well, I think they have one player that's better than Zach LaVine in just overall in Domantas Sabonis, but scoring options, that's tough.
He's also been to one playoff series.
Yeah. And his career, he didn't go to any before?
That is Hoop Genius.
Okay.
That was Scott Perry's appearance on the Hoop Genius podcast. That's back in 2023.
Okay.
November 2023. He wasn't still with the Knicks when he was out here saying all that stuff about Zach LaVine.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that's the modern, you know, the way that, you know, you you go on podcasts, you talk about stuff, and then things can change very quickly.
I'm so fascinated to know how he's going to navigate that.
Well, here's the other thing.
In the interest of accuracy, Domantas Sabonis has been to four playoff series, once with OKC in his first year, once with Indiana in his second year, and once with Indiana in his third year.
Okay. And then the Sacramento been,
and then the one with Sacramento. That's
Yeah. So, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know how you walk back some of those statements if you're Scott Perry, because to be honest,
Is he wrong?
You're just speaking facts.
That's it. That's the thing, is he didn't say, man, I don't think Zach LaVine is a good culture guy, where he could go, yeah, you know what? I've gotten around Zach LaVine. I've talked to some other guys. You know what? I take that back. Like, what he said is probably just kind of right.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we said when they made the trade. But just to rewind, if you knew that this was probably the outcome of your season, is that you're going to move away from De'Aaron Fox, you're going to move away from Monty and Wes,
mm-hmm.
why would you allow them to make the trade for a guy that he clearly isn't on board with? Like, again, it's just going to keep flaring up.
My guess is, because he's going to get asked about this at his presser.
Yep.
My guess is he's going to say something to the effect of, Zach LaVine's a really good player. We're going to make sure we get the right pieces around him to maximize his talents, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's on me to go get the pieces that make him fit in what they're doing.
And what that means is getting a number one and number two option to go along with him.
Yeah.
All right.
It's tough, though. Like, you just don't have a lot of pieces. I will say, like, the one blessing in disguise, we talked about the lottery pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
The coin flip, whatever, that doesn't matter. The one good thing is that once that pick is gone, mm-hmm. and let's say the Kings don't move up into the top four, there's only like a 3.8% chance of them moving up into the top four. If they don't, that just means that on July 1st, Scott Perry has everything moving forward. He has 9 first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is a pick swap in 2031, but they have an unprotected Spurs pick in 27, unprotected Timberwolves pick in 31. They get 2 second round picks back, to 2026 and 2027 second round picks. Mm-hmm. So on July 1st, he will be able to go out and wheel and deal with a full cupboard.
Yeah, right.
And that's something that Monty McNair has not been able to deal with for like 4 years or 3 years because of the Kevin Huerter trade.
Right, right.
I mean, that the good
and
thing
subsequent
about
subsequent other deals that botched their second round picks.
Well, of course. And then again, like trading your first round pick to get rid of Rashawn Holmes' contract, was that a great move? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going out and missing on a couple of first round picks, that wasn't a good idea either.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as just like, what does your cupboard look like? Like, the Kings have all kinds of ammunition here.
Yep.
And we in Sacramento have already seen what Scott Perry would do with a first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we saw him attack the 2017 NBA draft. And I think it's interesting when you look at, you know, De'Aaron Fox was the 5th overall pick. Number 15 overall was Justin Jackson. Number 20 was Harry Giles. And then Frank Mason in the early second round.
Mm-hmm.
Of those players, 2 were young 19-year-old kids in mm-hmm. Fox and Giles, and 2 were veterans in Justin Jackson and Frank Mason.
Sure.
So as opposed to the Monty McNair era, where he took one player under the age of like 21 the entire time he was here.
That's crazy.
And that's Jamias Ramsey.
That's so crazy.
5 years, he never drafted anyone young at all. That's a problem.
That's insane.
So, like, again, we just saw Scott Perry in the one draft he was here drafted 2 young players. Now, he had 4 picks in the first 34 picks or whatever, 33 picks. But still, that shows you that he's willing to take the gamble on the young player, but again, I would caution, the Kings were in a totally different position than they are today.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to build something quickly, trying to revitalize something.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll get interesting. Does he value his picks? Does he not value his picks? Does he go out and he trade 3 first round picks?
Mm-hmm.
That's always a possibility. Like, if they want to get in on some big player, it'll be interesting to see how they handle this.
Yep. TC, I see you on the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320. We will get to you when we come back. I also think we have a really good idea of who the 49ers are going to draft on Thursday. And I'll give you those names next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube is omnipresent because they sponsor this program. We're the insiders, and we're on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right. Your code word for the Jump Shot Jackpot giveaway, which is courtesy of Folsom Lake Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, home of the big guy Vince Bloom. This is your chance to win $500. It's your chance to win on this show. We're giving you a keyword. Mm-hmm. D'Lo and Casey will also be giving you a keyword at some point during their program. They're noon to four. They'll give you a keyword. That'll be another chance to enter at ESPN1320.com. $500.
Okay.
Today's code word is buzzer. Buzzer. I've got sound effects for this one.
Like buzzer beater.
Yeah, like buzzer.
Okay.
Buzzer. B-U-Z-Z-E-R. Buzzer. Enter that code word at ESPN1320.com. You will be entered to win $500. That is the Jump Shot Jackpot giveaway, courtesy of Folsom Lake Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, home of the big guy, Vince Bloom.
There it is.
Buzzer at ESPN1320.com. You'll find the contest page. It's right there.
I'm so excited we're giving away $500 each day.
Yeah. Monday through Friday next week?
Yeah.
Man.
I'm super excited, especially, you know, like, it's a good time to give away money.
Hell yeah.
Christmas time is a good time, but also right now is a good time to give away money.
But also the middle of April, also a good time.
Yes.
Yeah, get locked in before the summer.
Yeah.
No doubt. Let's get out to the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Let's hit TC. What's up, TC?
Hey, Hammer Kyle, what's up, man?
Vibing, bro.
What's going on?
Oh, man, just vibing. So real quick before we go Kings, Niners, man, trade Purdy, man, either to the Saints or whatever. Or you could.
All right. We'll do that again tomorrow.
Oh.
They're not going to trade Brock Purdy. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? So Mac Jones can be the quarterback? That's what we're fired up for? We're fired up for the Mac Jones era in San Francisco? We're ready to trade Brock Purdy?
You can be faded out.
Yeah, no, good dude. Chatty House says it all the time. Fade TC, fade TC. I know why. Look, bro. No, we talk. Hey, bro, look. We talk about this all the time, how we try our best. We're going to run down the hypothetical roads and we'll do all that. But I've seen this from the Larry Krugers and the Grant Cohns and the 49ers podcasters, like, oh, trade Brock. Like, brother, they're not going to trade Brock Purdy.
No, did you see today? He showed up at camp, at a voluntary camp. He showed up.
Phase one of the offseason program. He's there.
And they said that things are moving the right way with this contract extension.
They're not, like, you can want them to do that all you want. You can hate him. You can be like, they're never going to win a Super Bowl with him. And you might be right. I'm not even saying you're wrong. They're not going to do it. They're not going to call the Saints, and they're not going to go, hey, how about Brock Purdy for the number 9? And then the Saints aren't going to go, yeah, we'll take him with our contract situation. Their cap situation is hell, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just going to pay another quarterback when Derek Carr is already making a bajillion dollars.
Yep.
So yeah, hey, we'll just pay another quarterback. That's fine. Like, it's not a thing that's going to happen. Because, and if you want that, and you'd rather have the Mac Jones era? No.
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
That's not a thing that's going to happen. And I certainly don't want the Mac Jones era over the Brock Purdy era, or whatever the Brock Purdy era winds up being.
I don't ever want to see a Mac Jones era.
I'm out
era.
On Mac Jones.
No.
I'm out on him as a player.
No, there's probably 8 quarterbacks in this draft that have better futures than Mac Jones right now. Like, the fact that he's your backup, that's fine. But come on now.
Yeah. I don't... I love you, TC, but we're not doing the trade Brock Purdy thing. And if it happens, I'll eat a big plate of crow. But, man, I would be stunned, floored. I would drag the 49ers for a week if they did that.
The best part is, how long did TC wait on the line?
You know, hey, that's true. TC, call back, but leave the Brock Purdy stuff out of it. I'll get right to him.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I think the Niners are going to draft three guys. I was talking about Barrows yesterday on Candlestick Chronicles, the podcast I host with Chris Biederman.
Yep.
Of the Sacramento Bee. And I was talking about Barrows, and he said that we're starting to kind of get more and more info on who the 49ers might be taking. And Matt Barrows kind of confirmed what the breadcrumbs. The breadcrumbs are out there.
Okay.
Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle from Ole Miss, really productive last year, but questionable production in the 2 years prior to that. He was at Texas A&M for 2 years, went to Ole Miss, like 35 pressures, I think, and he's 6 sacks last season. That's according to Pro Football Focus. Really good athlete. Like, just could be a 3-down player on day one. Mm-hmm. It was a much better run defender this year, too. So I see the vision there. And again, all of these guys are players that you've probably read mock drafts and you're like, what? They're going in the 20s. From what I understand and talking to people who know more about the draft than I do, once you get past like 6 in this draft, the players between like 7 and 50 are all kind of in the same mix. There's tiers within that for sure. But the 49ers taking one of these guys at 11 is not as outrageous as it sounds, because they may not be able to trade. Adam Schefter wrote about this yesterday. The trade back market is not going to be robust. There's a ton of teams looking to trade back and not that many teams looking to move up. So the Niners can cross their fingers and hope Ashton Gentry falls to 11 and a team wants to trade up. They can hope that Shedeur Sanders falls to 11 and some team gets crazy and wants to trade up ahead of the Cowboys because they think they're going to take Shedeur instead. Maybe. Like, weird things happen. McMillan, the receiver from Arizona, whose first name I'm not going to pronounce correctly, so I'm not going to pronounce it at all. He might fall to 11, and some team wants to jump up in front of the Cowboys because maybe.
Okay.
But Walter Nolan's the one name. The other name is Mykel Williams, defensive end out of Georgia.
Okay.
Still got to figure it out as a pass rusher, but just checks all the boxes physically. Good run defender. Might be able to be a 3-down player relatively quickly in his career. I don't see it. I got the ick from watching him, but apparently the 49ers like him. Hmm. And then who was the third name here on my list? Oh, Kelvin Banks, the offensive tackle from Texas.
Yeah.
That's the other name that just, you start seeing him randomly in mock drafts from people who talk to people, and you start talking to some folks around the team, and you're like, I think if, depending on how the board shakes out, I think that's the other name where he played, started left tackle for 3 years at Texas. Where, hey, real quick, hang on, Jesse, did TC call back? You thumbs downed him? I can't put you, oh, okay, it's fine. Shoot me a text. I saw TC called back, and apparently he didn't want to get back on the air.
Oh.
Is he just out on our show now? That'd be fine. That'd be fair. I was a jerk. So if they just, if maybe Kelvin Banks is a player, he played offensive tackle at Texas for 3 years. He's a starter at left tackle. Really, really productive player. There's some questions about his size and whether he can hold up as a left tackle. So Dane Brugler from The Athletic has him as a guard. Maybe he plays guard and then kicks out to left tackle in the long term. Mm-hmm. If they're taking an offensive lineman in round one, it has to be somebody who upgrades their line this year and eventually replaces Trent Williams. That's the only way you can justify taking an offensive lineman in the first round.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think it's one of those three guys.
The one issue I have with the defensive linemen, like, I don't think the Niners are in a spot, like Walter Nolan, he plays multiple positions, right, on the line,
mm-hmm.
and he's not a master of any of them. Like, he's fine against a run. He can get mm-hmm. to the quarterback a little bit. He doesn't seem like he's a road grader.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't seem like he's an edge rusher.
Yeah, like, no, he's definitely not that.
And I don't think the Niners are in a position where they can, you know, if you've got like four defensive linemen set up, mm-hmm. and then you bring in a guy who has versatility to play all four spots,
mm-hmm.
that's fine. It's like your fifth, or even if you've got most of your spots filled. I just don't like having in that situation, a plug and play, like he can move around type guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get me a 320-pound defensive tackle.
Sure.
That can stop the run. Get me maybe two of them. Also, go get me an edge rusher. What I don't want to see is like the versatility thing. Mm. The Niners aren't at a versatility point.
Maybe a little bit. I think that the player you're talking about, kind of that bigger defensive tackle, they can do in rounds 2 and 3.
Yeah.
They can still go do that. I think the bet with Nolan at 11 would be the upside part of it.
He's got to be a star at one of those positions, though.
He'd play defensive tackle. I think the whole, like, can kick out to the edge thing is just a fun little wrinkle. In the same way you go, yeah, Jonas Valanciunas can shoot some threes. Like, I mean, yeah, you don't want him shooting 10 of them a game, but if he's standing in the corner and he gets an open look, like, you don't hate that he's taking it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, he can kick out to the edge sometimes, but I think at that point you're banking on upside, which definitely comes with a risk, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's, if it's a player with 1 year of really good college production and you're looking at him 6'4", 296, like you said, not really a massive, like, run stuffing defensive tackle, but you're betting on the explosiveness, the athleticism, and then eventually with NFL coaching, he'll kind of reach that peak where he's a really effective pass rusher in the NFL and can at least hold his own against a run where he doesn't have to be off of the field on rundowns, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And maybe that's what he is early, but I don't hate it as an upside pick, as long as they do what you said, and as long as that means, hey, you know what, we're going with another defensive tackle on day two, or maybe day three, and a defensive end or two in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you were taking a guy with versatility in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, that's fine with me. But you better not miss with the number 11 pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, just straight up, you got to hit a home run there.
Yeah. The thing with Nolan was there were some questions, I guess, about, and again, this is via Matt Barrows. There were some questions about, I guess he moved high schools a couple of times, and then he was at Texas A&M for 2 years and then transferred to Ole Miss. It's like, hey, man, why are you always changing schools? Like, what's the deal there? They had him in for a visit, a 30 visit at their facility. So I think if they're taking him, they're confident in the character and the upside of his development. But you're right, man. The bottom line is you can't miss. And if you're betting on this player, then he needs to make an immediate impact as a pass rusher. And he has to be able by sometime early in the year, be able to be on the field for three downs.
Yep.
That's the very bottom line. And I don't mind the versatility part of it, because if he's not an edge, he's 6'4", 296. He's got 32.5-inch arms. The arm length is a little bit of a problem, but he's not going to be an edge. You're not going to line him up and be like, hey, you're going to rush the passer out there. But like I said, if there's a third and long, and they have maybe another defensive tackle, maybe it's Kevin Givens and somebody else who can rush from the inside, maybe they pop him to the outside and have another edge rusher standing over him or something. Like, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Like, there's just these little things you can do where he's playing different roles. I don't hate that necessarily, but I do think of the Banks, Nolan, Williams trio, I think he might be the highest upside, where, man, you might have like an all-pro defensive tackle.
Okay.
But I also think he has the lowest floor, where you have Javon Kinlaw.
Yeah.
And he's getting pushed around in the run game, and he's not an effective pass rusher, and he's just kind of on the field for 25 snaps, and you're not really sure what he's doing in any of those 25 snaps. I think that's there's a very low floor there, in a way there's not necessarily for Banks or for Michael Williams.
Yeah, I mean, like, Banks, worst case scenario, you got to put him at left guard or something.
Yeah, I think he's a starter somewhere.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. And probably a very good starter at somewhere. Yeah. Like, whether you can get him to play right tackle now and eventually move to left tackle or play left guard and then move over to the left tackle. I mean, I just think that there's a way in which he makes a lot of sense as a guy who, you know, it's talked about this before. It's like, you know, when you're drafting NBA players, and if you have, you know, three players on the board, one is a starting level point guard, one's a starting level power forward, another one's like a combo guy. I'm taking one of the two guys that I know have natural position.
Sure.
Unless my team is so good that I can take the combo guy, because I need to go find another Malik Monk type deal.
Sure.
So
that makes sense.
I just don't think the 49ers, with all of the holes that they have to fill in this particular draft, again, unless they're able to move from 11 to 20, pick up a third round pick or a fourth round pick or fourth and a fifth, whatever.
Which they might be able to, they may be able to do.
Yeah. Then it would be like, okay, that's fine. At 20, that's fine. At 11, you've got to hit a, like, you need a full-fledged day one starter.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's get back to the Elk Grove Kia Talk on 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. TC, welcome back to the program. I appreciate you for holding. I appreciate you for calling back. I'm sorry for dumping your call the first time. That's on me, but I want to let you know that if you do the Brock Purdy trade thing again, we're going to have the same result. Okay. Hi, TC. Welcome back to the show. There, I forgot that's on me. Hi, TC. What's up?
Hey, what's up, bro?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, no, just vibing. Hey, look, so as far as Scott Perry, bro, I'm sitting down with Domas, DeMar, and Zach and trying to find a good spot for them. I know how you feel with Domas, Ham, but I'm sitting down with those dudes and I'm making a hard decision. Kyle, as far as the Niners, bro, I really don't care about how people feel about what I'm talking about, but.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, TC. Appreciate you. Yeah, right. I think I on the Scott Perry front, I'm going to leave the Niners stuff alone. That was weird. On the Scott Perry front, I think if you're talking like very, very basic steps, I do think that there has to be with whoever you believe the current core is. You figure Domas is there. Keegan Murray is there. Zach LaVine is there. DeMar DeRozan is there. And again, I'm not talking about this as the core moving forward, but these guys that you have to make decisions on. Like Malik Monk is probably in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're sitting down and figuring out, okay, hey, where are you as a person with this team? What is your vision for you as a player? What do you think the team needs? And just start having that conversation and having that dialogue with those guys. And trying to figure out, okay, of those kind of, you know, their quote unquote best players, who is there anything salvageable with any of these guys? Because if you sit down and you walk in on day one, if you're Scott Perry and you go, all right, man, can't wait to build a team around Domas. Yes, let's go. I have a great vision for how we're gonna build around Domas. And you sit down with Domas, like TC said, and Domas goes, I gotta know more direction. I just like,
Yeah.
Then like, all right, good to know. Same thing with DeMar. Same thing with Keegan Murray, whose extension you got to figure out. And who had that? Somebody had that. Is there James McCauley, who writes for the Kings on SI, dropped that and said, "Yo, they got to figure out Keegan's contract situation."
Well,
it's another big one.
I mean, yeah, they have to figure it out, but realistically, they don't. They can punt until next offseason when he's a restricted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he could then play for the qualifying offer and walk away the next summer.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking like two more years. Like the ideal situation would be to come up with a contract this summer that makes sense for both sides, not just a blanket max money contract.
Of course.
Now, if his side is adamant that he's a max money player for, you know, rookie scale extension,
mm-hmm.
then okay. We need to have a longer discussion.
Mm-hmm.
We need to figure out what that means for the franchise and whether that's something they're willing to do.
Sure.
I'm not sure that that's where the Kings are with him. And again, that's where, you know, Keegan was very clear during his exit interviews. Yeah, I want to be here.
Sure.
Like, my agent will have discussions with them, but I do want to be here. This is a city that I want to put back on the map. I want to get back to the playoffs with this team and all that stuff. That doesn't matter in the end because we're talking about a new GM. We're talking about a new system. We're talking about a new head coach.
So I think that's what you just said stuck out to me the most. And we got to go here in a second, but you said you don't know where the Kings are necessarily with Keegan.
Yeah.
We should not know where they are with anybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, Scott Perry should have the ability to have his own vision.
Yep.
And if his own vision does not have a all, you know, universal like center in the middle, then Sabonis might not be part of this.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're signing the guy up for a long-term deal, probably a 3 or 4 year contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's Scott Perry should be able to make the decisions as long as he, you know, like gets value and everything else. I mean, this is kind of where you're at.
Yeah.
Like you're a team that's on the decline.
Yeah. It is not an easy situation.
Nope.
Very, very difficult conversations to be had. Just like our guy TC said on the Oak Grove Kia talk line. All right. We got to step aside. Handoff is next. One of D-Lo or KC will jump in with us, and we'll continue talking about all of this. We'll talk some NBA playoffs, too. I don't think we've talked any playoffs today. We've done that at all. don't think we've been able to fit the NBA postseason in. We'll do that in the handoff. One of D'Lo or Casey is going to join us next here on the Insiders. It's sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. I don't know. I was going to say the Insiders. Get me out of here.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, there's NBA playoff games tonight, FYI. Got that going on. And you know, with the NBA playoffs going on, you know I've got an underdog lineup using their extender promotion where I have now, because it's game two, have a 50% profit boost token that I am using on my lineup tonight.
Uh-oh.
Game three, I'll get 60%. Game four, I'll get 70%. You can do that too, signing up with Underdog Daily Fantasy, their pick 'em game. Of course, higher or lower, you pick that on at least two player stats. You went up to 1,000 times your money. Here's my lineup tonight. Tyrese Haliburton. We're going lower than 18.5 points for our guy Tyrese Haliburton.
You sure he's not going to read that the player's poll?
Well, he might.
And say, oh, I'm underrated?
He might.
I'm overrated? All right.
Yeah, here's got these 19 points for you. Yeah, he might. Memphis OKC. Ja Morant, I'm going higher than 22.5 points.
Oh, that's easy.
I think that Memphis is going to be better. I think they're going to lose by a lot. I think they're going to be better. I'm going to go Ja Morant higher than 22.5 points. SGA higher than 43.5 points, rebounds, and assists. And then Zach Edey higher than 8.5 points. Put back opportunities, dunks. I feel good about that with Zach Edey. I hope you play along. Download the Underdog app and sign up with promo code KYLEM. That's KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. That's promo code KYLEM. KYLEM. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/extend.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Speaking of the NBA playoffs, it's time for the handoff. Damian Barling in the building, everybody.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's D-Lo, Damian Barling.
I think Kenny was like, no, I'm not starting it until you play the intro thing.
No, he's a bigger diva than I am.
That's facts.
I'm just here.
You're just vibing.
Yeah, that's it. So just make sure we got the people to throw rose petals at Casey's feet when he gets in.
Mm. Oh, they're here.
Get him his okay.
They checked in. They're good.
Rose petal throwers. Yeah,
they're on there. They're getting him his coffee and his snacks right now. Got to get all that out of the way first.
Of course. It's a lot of snacks, too.
So many snacks. So we've been talking about the top priority for Scott Perry, Kings New GM.
Yeah.
If you're telling him, he says, hey, Damian, you know what? I'm really struggling with this GM thing. Damian, help.
Yeah. And who doesn't do that?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You've got just 30 NBA GMs just on the horn at all times.
Right.
What would you say is the number one, like smaller picture priority? Not, you got to pick a franchise direction. Like, yeah, no, we know.
Or a coach.
and a coach. Yeah, that was James' answer, which I think is the right answer.
Yeah, so I assume we'll take that out of the equation.
Yeah, because that's the correct answer. Personnel priority.
I mean, you know, the truth be told, first order of business for me was I'd want to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
I'd want to talk to, you know, and I would prioritize it by the players that I want here next year. Now, I think after my meetings, I would determine whether I still want that individual here. But I'd have a conversation with DeMar DeRozan. You've been around the league. You're a Hall of Famer. You've put up numbers that were essentially what you've done your entire Hall of Fame career. Why did this season end up the way that it did? Mm-hmm. I'd ask Domantas Sabonis the same thing. I'd ask Malik Monk the same thing. I'd ask all these guys the same thing. I'd ask all of the guys who didn't want Mike Brown here, why not? What was different under Doug Christie? I'd ask every single one of them, you know, what they think about Keegan Murray. How vital is Keon Ellis to what we do? And then I'd work my way through. My first order of business is I'd create what I consider a priority list in terms of players. And that's the order in which I talk to them. So if it's DeMar, Domas, Zach LaVine, I'm talking to them. I'm trying to get a feel for why things went the way that they did last year. For guys like guys like DeMar, I'd ask him flat out, like, do you want
to
be here?
Yeah,
like
you have
been, you know, adamant since signing here. You don't have a ton of time left in this league. You're universally respected across the league. How do you want to approach this season? Do you want me to explore something else? Because in DeMar's case, I think he's probably the easiest to like. Okay, if you don't want to be here, we'll do right by you. Like, we can make this work. It's not going to be difficult.
Yeah.
He's the only person I'm posing that question to. So I don't care who wants clarity. I don't care who's asking. I'm not asking you that question. Because the fact of the matter is, I might not be able to move you.
Right.
I'm not going to sit in here and you tell me you don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Because there could come a point where, fam, that's too goddamn bad.
No doubt.
I can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
So DeMar is the one guy who gets that, whether it's a level of respect or who gets that out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be here next year? Yes. Great. We're going to try to find a way to make this work.
Right.
Now, admittedly, I'm going to do what I can to make this team better. There are going to be people who are going to call and ask about you.
Mm-hmm.
I see you as a part of this team moving forward, but I'm taking calls on everything. If there is any trade conversation, you and I will have a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
You and your agents will have discussion. But again, DeMar is the only guy that gets that level of respect. Domas doesn't get it. Zach doesn't get it. Malik doesn't get it. No one gets it except for DeMar DeRozan. And that's not just the level of respect. It's the ease in which it takes to move him.
Sure.
Every other player, and Malik wouldn't be difficult. Malik wouldn't be difficult. And I don't think Malik would even say, yeah, I want out of here. Like, he made that clear at exit interviews. Yeah. But the other two that people focus on, like, hey, Scott, I don't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Domas, I don't know what to tell you. Like, no one's really clamoring to take $130 million back for you right now.
Yeah.
So I'd find a way to figure it out mentally.
I think what I would find
a way is for you to tell me what you think we could do to make this team better. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think there is a market for Domas. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a market at all for Zach LaVine.
That's a lot of money. Like, why are they different to you?
Well, because one of them doesn't have a long history of injury.
Fine.
That's okay. True.
He's a guy who plays, you know, on average, like for the Kings, like 75 games per year. Like, so, like, that's...
So, but like, what level
leads the league in rebounding?
Sure,
and all
but
that
what level
stuff.
Of team are you talking about? Like, are you talking about the Nets? The Raptors? Because that, you could sell me on that. I guess, like, if the Nets went and acquired Domantas Sabonis, I would assume it's because Jordy really likes Domas.
Mm.
And given who Jordy's right-hand man was, I don't think that's the case. So, like, what type of team goes, give me Domas?
I think there are a lot of teams that would take Domas that would jump at the opportunity. Good teams, bad teams. I think there are a lot of teams. Like, I'm not going to, like, I think that the mistakes here that were made are not Domantas Sabonis related.
No, I don't think that's the case either.
I mean, it doesn't take like a brain surgeon to look at the types of players that you should have put next to him and then just look at how they systematically did not ever put that player next to him.
But doesn't that alone limit the teams that he can be traded to? Unless you are talking about a team like Brooklyn who's still very much building their team.
No, because I think there are so many teams in the league that just have never struggled to build the team that we're talking about. Like, every team in the league, you look around, except for the Kings, have a bunch of length and athleticism at the wings.
But I think, I guess, so what my process here was, I'm going to go through the playoff teams. Oklahoma City? No.
No.
They're not? Okay.
I don't know.
You don't think Oklahoma City would trade for Domas?
No,
I don't think so.
Oh,
I think they're cool with Hartenstein and Chet.
I also think there's a world in which they're like, okay, we might need to diversify and to have a guy like Chet.
Like, they're sketchy on Chet?
Next to Sabonis? No.
Oh.
No, I think they would love, like.
But what are they going to do when Shea comes up and then Chet comes up and you still got, when Chet comes up, you got $50 million on Domas that year.
Well, yeah, but the salary cap is also going to be well over $200 million at that point.
That's true. Yeah. Salary cap always goes up. Steph Curry will be making $190 million a year.
At some point.
Yeah. If well-deserved.
It'll be like 47. Yeah. We'll be like, how is he still in the league? Yeah. Well, we know why he's still in the league.
Well, at $200 million a year, you'll stick around.
The Rockets?
I actually like the Rockets better for DeMar.
I think that's what I texted James about something related to that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I need to see how this series goes, but if they lose in like five games, I don't think they're gonna. But if they lose in mm-hmm. five and their offense just looks like this the
yeah.
whole time,
yeah.
I think DeMar, mm-hmm. I think they should be calling the Kings.
Yeah.
Because that is a player that you can get for not a ton of money who can help you immediately. And you know what? To hell with moving the ball. Mm-hmm. We've got Alperen Şengün who can do that, and we need somebody who's going to put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, it was one of the first things we brought up yesterday when talking about the Warriors-Rockets. It was, man, DeMar would probably really help them, the style of player DeMar DeRozan is.
Plus, he wouldn't upset the balance of what they're building or their future.
Domas, I guess, could work there. I just don't think he's tough enough.
I don't.
Not that he's not tough. He gets his ass whooped every game. Like we know that. I wonder if he's mentally tough enough.
Where I'm going with this, and we can talk about fit. Yeah, he'd fit here. He'd fit there. I don't think the Rockets would give up anything of value to the Kings to get him.
Well, yeah, but
like
it would
if they
be
can get him
a,
for
would
nothing,
be, it
then
would
cool.
be what do they consider value though? Like, where are they at with, like, because, I mean, it's a terrible, what's one's man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah, yeah.
They may look at it like this doesn't, Jalen Green, for example, he mm-hmm. doesn't fit what sure. we're doing. He can't take us to a certain level. He's a good basketball player. DeMar, James talking about fit, DeMar fits better. Uh-huh. So it's not that Jalen is bad. It's not that we have to come off so much. It's that
I was
DeMar
talking about Domas, sorry.
Fits, oh, Domas.
Yeah. That's my bad. We had moved on. I didn't.
Yeah, no. I got you. That's a little more like difficult because the money lining up, you're going to have to part ways with money, and that becomes difficult. But like Houston is set up.
Maybe we can do this exercise.
They could acquire any. Houston could literally acquire anyone in the league they want.
Legitimately
to.
Anyone.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll pick up that conversation. You guys, what do you got coming up?
We got this. We are committed to getting to the NFL draft at some point. We spent so much time discussing the NBA and the NBA playoffs, but we have plans here in the first hour to talk NBA draft as well. Trista to Jason Jones at 3:20. So
can't wait.
Be good.
D'Lo and KC coming up next at 4:00 after D'Lo and KC. Grizzlies at Thunder, game two of that rousing first round series. Can't wait. For James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil at the home office. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're back tomorrow at 10 a.m. on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. Until then, drink water. Be nice to people. Bye.